Justice Resnick, as I announced earlier, is not sitting on any of the cases that we argued this morning. On this case, we're pleased to have sitting in place of Justice Resnick, Judge Michael Fain, who is a judge of the Court of Appeals sitting in the Second Appellate District. Welcome back, Judge Fain.
Thank you.
This case is 06-1198, Disciplinary Counsel versus Tim Watterson. It appears to me the respondent is not present. Ms. Brown.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Lori Brown on behalf of Relator Disciplinary Counsel. As the Chief Justice mentioned, Mr. Watterson is not present. It was brought to my attention when I checked in this morning that Mr. Watterson filed yesterday with this court a motion to stay these proceedings based upon a federal lawsuit that he filed, I believe it's September 22nd of 2006. The federal lawsuit, Relator's response to that, obviously.
Ms. Brown, I should have advised you. I've received this morning, about a half an hour ago, an order from the federal court dismissing Mr. Watterson's case that he had filed in the Southern District of Ohio, so that case has been dismissed.
I appreciate that, Your Honor. Thank you for letting me know. With regard to the case that is before the court today, this court has been asked to indefinitely suspend Mr. Watterson based on his conduct in responding to the Stark County Grievance Committee's investigations of grievances that were filed against him by the Guns and by the Grants. The third count of the formal complaint is with regard to Mr. Watterson's comments, accusations, and threats directed at members of the Stark County Bar Association, their certified grievance committee, and their bar counsel, Richard Milligan. The second disciplinary case, just so that I'm very clear, has nothing to do with Mr. Watterson's first disciplinary case. These are two separate matters. Mr. Watterson frequently ties them together, bases one on the other. He cannot get away from his first disciplinary case. Excuse me. This second case is all new misconduct. The only relevance the first case has is the fact that it operates as an aggravating factor with regard to the sanction that should be imposed upon Mr. Watterson by this court. This case, Mr. Watterson consistently argues that the Grant and the Gun grievances were resolved by the bankruptcy court. They were not in any way resolved by the bankruptcy court. Yes, he filed a motion in response to the Gun's complaint that his fees were too high. He has never responded to the Gun's accusations that he neglected their case, that he failed to communicate with them. You know, the bigger picture is that he also never responded to the Certified Grievance Committee when they asked him about the Gun's complaint or the Grant's complaint. This case is before the court today on a default motion filed by Relator and granted by the Board of Commissioners. Mr. Watterson never filed an answer to the formal complaint that was filed against him last October. An indefinite suspension is appropriate in this case for several reasons. First of all, when an indefinite suspension, as this court knows, is entered against an attorney, the burden is on that attorney to prove by clear and convincing evidence that he or she is fit to be readmitted. This court can impose conditions upon Mr. Watterson in addition to the conditions that are already imposed upon him, the burden of proof being on the respondent to establish that he is fit to be readmitted.
I would think that one of those conditions, if we indefinitely suspended, we know, of course, from what he's filed, he doesn't want his license back, or he doesn't want to keep his license, so he essentially doesn't want to practice law, be admitted, or doesn't want to be a member of the bar in Ohio. It seems to me with the nature of the attacks, verbal attacks he's made, particularly with respect to Mr. Milligan, these are very dangerous statements he's made, it seems to me. Should we not, but there's no mention in here of any mental health conditions or that he's gotten treatment from anyone or anyone suggested that. I would think if we do indefinitely suspend him, certainly a part of one of the conditions of his readmission to the bar, which he doesn't want, would be some indication from some mental health professional that this person is stable. He's not stable now. At least what I read indicates to me he's not a stable person.
We would completely agree with that. We agree that that would be an appropriate condition for his reinstatement, mental health exam, appropriate treatment, which can be ordered by this court sua sponte, obviously, and very similar to the Disciplinary Counsel versus O'Neill case. Make mental health evaluation and treatment a condition of an application for reinstatement. It's possible, Your Honor, in response to that, that should Mr. Watterson be evaluated and get treatment, he may decide, gosh, he does want his license back. But as you pointed out, he has said numerous times that he does not want his license back. He will not subject himself to the authority of this court or the disciplinary system. So we would wholeheartedly agree with the court's decision to have him evaluated upon application for reinstatement. And with regard to a mental health examination, issuing any orders at this point, short of an indefinite suspension, would be futile. Mr. Watterson's license is already suspended. He's been suspended since September of 2004. We have no clout, so to speak, any control over Mr. Watterson other than to indefinitely suspend him. Other than that, if this court has any questions of relator.
Ms. Brown, what is your last contact with Mr. Watterson or anyone representing him in connection with this matter?
We received a copy of Mr. Watterson's objections to the board's report shortly after we filed our answer. And other than, I have had no contact, his motion to stay indicates that he's mailing a copy of that to me today, but I got it from the clerk's office.
So the only communication you've had is by mail. There'd been no telephone contact or no face-to-face confrontation of any kind.
He telephoned our office in early August, just this past August. He spoke to my assistant, Shelley Russell, when he asked for an extension of time to file his objections. We indicated our assent to that request.
Thank you.
In the board's findings of fact, with respect to the grant matter, there's a reference to a Mr. Imlay, and it wasn't clear to me who he is and what his authority to have made this request not to communicate with Mrs. Grant was.
Mr. Imlay is a member of the Stark County Bar Association's Certified Grievance Committee, as opposed to Mr. Milligan, who is bar counsel for the Stark County Grievance Committee. Certified Grievance Committee, excuse me. Mr. Imlay was assigned as the investigator on Mr. Watterson's cases in his first disciplinary case. He was also assigned as an investigator in the gun matter and the grant matter. That was Mr. Emley's authority to contact Mr. Watterson and to ask him more as a courtesy and appropriateness not to contact Angela Grant regarding her grievance. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.